On this week's episode of the Grizz Podcast, I want to continue to delve into the subject of depression among Christian men, because I know for a fact that there really are many Christian men who deal with it. Just this week, I talked with three friends who are feeling it big time, and I deal with it too. My pain levels this week have been pretty bad, and that can easily put me in a funk of depression. So I felt it this week, and it was a battle at times. Listen to me, guys. If you're a Christian man and you're dealing with depression, as I said back in episode 17, I want you to know you're not alone. Many Christian men, even many Christian leaders, pastors, youth pastors, etc., they go through times of depression. Really dark, scary, frustrating times of depression. I just wish that more Christian dudes would stop the whole fronting and faking, acting like they've got it all together, acting like everything is great, happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. I just wish more Christian dudes would get raw and get real and talk to each other about these sort of things so that we can help each other, because we really do have more in common than we realize. We're all going through various types of trials, but many times we don't want to talk about those kinds of trials or certain trials that we're going through because we may think, well, we're the only one, or this might make me not look like I have it all together, like make me not look like I'm this great Christian leader, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I'm not saying you got to stand up in front of the whole church and tell them what you're going through, but you do need to have a group of guys that you're talking to about your issues. I can't imagine doing life without that anymore. There's just too much that I'm going through. There's too many struggles, too many weaknesses in my life, too many issues, too much opposition and hardship. I need backup. I need support. I need my brothers from other mothers. You know what I mean? So anyway, remember what I told you back in episode 17. Some of the greatest men who've ever walked the planet, they also dealt with depression. I mentioned guys like Moses, Elijah, Jonah, Job, Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul, Charles Spurgeon, Abraham Lincoln, Sir Winston Churchill, and many, many more. There are a lot of great men throughout history and even today that are still living that battle depression. So you're in really good company if you are dealing with depression. And I also know that winter time is a prime time to be feeling depression. I don't know what it is about it, man. I don't know if it's the darker days or the moon cycles, you know, the stuff that's going on with, I don't know. Just, I don't understand all of that, but I know that it's definitely more common in the wintertime, and I feel like that in my own life as well. So just want to tell you guys that I love you. I care about you. I'm here to try to help you, to guide you, to encourage you, to equip you as best I can. But I confess, man, I'm not the guru of much of anything. Really, I just view myself as one beggar telling a bunch of other beggars where they can find bread. So with that said, here we go.
You You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
All right, so in the recent episode of the Grizz Podcast, episode 20, I talked to you guys about the possible causes of depression. Now, I really want to transition and begin talking about things that can help us as Christian men to overcome our depression. Like solutions, you know, things that can really lift our spirits, things that can help our focus, our mindset, our attitude, things that can even help us feel better physically. This is just so crucial. Look, I want to make it clear, like even great Christians can go through times of depression. Some of us may have more of a natural tendency or something is, you know, wired in us to have that propensity maybe more than others, but we can't just take this mentality of, yeah, I deal with it. A lot of great Christian leaders dealt with it. Yeah, this is my causes. This is why. Like, I'm a solution guy. I'm a fix-it guy, and I hate not having solutions. I hate not having a game plan or a strategy or a way to overcome something. Like, that's just how I am as a guy. I think most guys are like that. So I want to offer some solutions, some things that can definitely help us. And the only thing I really know to do is to tell you guys things that help me personally when I go through depression. And I have been going through depression at times because of mostly my pain levels that are related to this chronic late-stage Lyme disease. Plus, I'm finding out that what this thing does to you when it crosses the blood-brain barrier or whatever, it affects you neurologically. It can affect your mood and your chemicals and your serotonin levels and your cortisol levels and all this other stuff. So, kind of makes sense, man, with what I'm going through. Anyway, I want to start talking about on this episode when it comes to overcoming depression or really managing it better and not letting it keep us in the pit. I want to talk about the importance of knowing our identity. It's just so crucial. Understanding who you are impacts every area of your life. It impacts your thoughts, your feelings, your relationship with God, your relationship with others. It even impacts your health, your fitness, the way you work, your finances, a whole lot of things in your life. Who you are, your identity. So that's what I really want to focus on for this episode, to help you with depression. Your identity. You need to know who you are, because when you're really in the pit of depression, a lot of times you're not thinking right. And one of the ways that we're not thinking right is in regard to our identity. We're not thinking right about who we now are in Christ, who Christ has made us. All we're kind of thinking is, man, you know, about how we feel. And those feelings kind of conjure up or fuel a lot of negative, false thoughts. You'll see what I mean as we get into this. One of my favorite movies of all time is the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe. I own it, and I bet I've watched it at least 25 times, maybe more. If you don't know the movie Gladiator, let me quickly enlighten you. about the whole story and what goes on here. This will kind of help you with where I'm going with the identity thing and the importance of identity. This comes from Wikipedia. This kind of gives a whole synopsis of the story of Gladiator. So for most of us that are listening to the Grizz podcast, I'm sure most of us have seen Gladiator. This is going to be a refresher, but if you're like me, you don't mind the refresher because it's such a great movie, such a great story, so freaking inspiring and motivating. Anyway, this is from Wikipedia about Gladiator. In AD 180, Hispano-Roman general Maximus Decimus Meridius intends to return to his home after he leads the Roman army to victory against the Germanic tribes. Emperor Marcus Aurelius tells Maximus that his own son, Commodus, is unfit to rule and that he wishes Maximus to succeed him as regent to help save Rome from corruption. Commodus then murders his father, the emperor, when he is told about the plan to have Maximus become the leader of Rome. Commodus then publicly announces that he is the new emperor, and he asks Maximus for his loyalty, but the general refuses. Maximus is then arrested by the Roman guards and is told that he and his family will die. Maximus then kills his captors and rides for his distant home, but it's too late. He finds his family murdered. With a heart overwhelmed by grief, Maximus buries his wife and son and then collapses. He is soon found by slave owners, captured, and then taken to the Roman province of Zucabar, where he is sold to a gladiator trainer named Proximo. Although reluctant at first, Maximus begins fighting as a gladiator for his owner in local tournaments and makes friends with two other gladiators. Proximo reveals to Maximus that he too was once a gladiator, and he advises Maximus that he must win the crowd if he wants to win his freedom. Proximo eventually takes his gladiators to fight in Rome's Colosseum because Emperor Commodus has organized 150 days of games. Disguised by a masked helmet, Maximus debuts in gladiatorial combat in the Colosseum to reenact the Battle of Zama with the other gladiators. Unexpectedly, Maximus leads his gladiators to victory, and Commodus enters the Colosseum to offer his congratulations. He orders the disguised Maximus as leader of the gladiators to show himself and give his true name or identity. Maximus hesitates at first, but he then reveals who he really is by taking off his mask and stating to Commodus his true identity. And he does declare that he will have his vengeance upon Commodus in this life or in the next. Commodus is compelled by the Colosseum crowd to let the gladiators live, and the Praetorian Guard is held back from striking them down. Maximus's next fight in the Colosseum is a victory against a legendary undefeated gladiator. Commodus orders Maximus to kill the gladiator, but Maximus defies Commodus and spares his opponent's life. The Colosseum crowd erupts and they begin to chant, "Maximus the Merciful, Maximus the Merciful." Angered at this outcome, Commodus taunts Maximus about the murder of his family. Maximus turns and walks away. Shortly after, Maximus discovers from Cicero his ex-orderly that his former military legions remain loyal to him. Lucilla, who is Commodus's sister, with an influential senator, they meet secretly with Maximus. They forge a plan with Maximus for Maximus to escape Rome, join his soldiers, remove Commodus by force, and hand back power to the Roman Senate. Commodus ends up learning of the plot by threatening his sister Lucilla, and he has the Praetorian Guard arrest the senator that was conspiring with him, and he also has his soldiers attack the gladiators' barracks, where Maximus and all the other gladiators are. Proximo, who is, as you remember, the slave owner of all the gladiators, he owns many of the gladiators, Proximo and most of his men that he owns, the other gladiators, sacrifice their lives to enable Maximus to escape, but he is soon captured right after he escapes. The Emperor Commodus then challenges Maximus to a duel, a one-on-one duel in the Colosseum. But right before they go into the Colosseum to fight, he secretly stabs Maximus in the back, the lower back, like where the kidney is, and Maximus is in chains and he can't do anything about it. Commodus has the wound covered to hide what he has done before the fight, and so he has this unfair advantage over Maximus before the fight even begins. During the fight, Maximus still is able to disarm Commodus, and the Roman guards refuse to come to the defense of their emperor, Commodus. And Commodus then produces a hidden knife, which Maximus takes from him and drives into his throat, killing him. The movie ends with Maximus winning the fight, the duel, but in the process, he has lost his life because of the wound that Commodus inflicted upon him before the fight. Before Maximus dies, as he's fading out of this life and going into the next, he declares the wishes of Marcus Aurelius, that Rome would be a republic. And he states that for Lucilla and the Praetorian Guard and everyone to hear. And he also asks for all of his gladiators to be freed and for Senator Gracchus to be reinstated. Maximus dies in the arena, and his friends and allies honor him as a soldier of Rome, and they carry his body out of the arena, and they leave dead Commodus behind in the dirt. It is a very powerful and moving scene. The whole movie is very powerful, moving, inspiring, big time. All right, so that's the whole gist of the movie. Dude, it really is epic. It brought me to tears the first few times I saw it. I still get choked up when I see the ending. But here's what I want to go to in the movie is my favorite part of the whole movie is that one scene in the Colosseum when Maximus, for the first time, takes off his gladiator mask and he reveals himself to the emperor, Commodus, and he states his identity to the emperor. You have to understand that the emperor thought Maximus was dead. He thought that he had Maximus assassinated. He always feared Maximus, and that's why he wanted him out of the picture. So anyway, after Maximus secures another victory in the arena, the emperor comes down into the arena in this scene and actually wants to meet the victor. And he wants to know his true identity. He wants his mask to come off. He wants him to tell his name. And so this is kind of how the scene plays out. I want to go through it and even quote some of the lines from the movie because it's just so powerful. Commodus, like I said, enters the arena. And as he's entering the arena, Maximus sees him coming down into the arena. And Maximus is thinking, this is my chance. I'm going to kill this guy for what he did to my family. And he's not the rightful emperor. He killed his own father. He killed our emperor, Marcus Aurelius. So Maximus sees a broken arrow on the ground from the battle in the arena that just took place. And he secretly picks it up with the hopes to use it to kill the emperor. Right then and there, he was going to do it. Maximus and the other gladiators, as the emperor comes in, they do what's customary. They kneel to the emperor, but Maximus is looking for his opportunity to strike the emperor and kill him. The emperor, Commodus, comes in and he says, "Rise, rise." And then Lucius, the emperor's young nephew, enters behind the emperor. And Maximus sees him, this young boy, and he hesitates with what he was planning to do. He doesn't want to attempt an attack on the emperor with the boy so close. Maximus cares for the boy, and he cares for the boy's mother, Lucilla. They have a history together. The emperor then says, "Your fame is well deserved, Spaniard. I don't think there's been a gladiator to match you. As for this young man," the emperor brings his nephew Lucius in front of him at that point, "he insists you are Hector reborn, or was it Hercules? Why doesn't the hero reveal himself and tell us all your real name? You do have a name." Maximus responds, still got his mask on, his gladiator mask, "My name is Gladiator." At that point, Maximus turns around and begins walking back to the other gladiators in the arena. The emperor angrily responds, "How dare you show your back to me, slave? You will remove your helmet and tell me your name." The Roman guards with the emperor take a defensive stance with their weapons at the ready, and then the other gladiators who are with Maximus, who have no weapons at that time, they immediately move forward, ready to defend and fight with Maximus. Maximus then stops, and he thinks about what he's going to say. And he removes his helmet, and he turns to face the emperor. Now, this next moment, this is the most epic of epic moments in the movie, in my opinion. Maximus looks right into the eyes of the evil emperor with his mask off, and he says to him, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." Fear grips the heart of the emperor. He's in total shock. He doesn't know what to say. He's just faced a man, a wounded warrior, who knows who he is. He knows his true identity. And he isn't afraid to stand face to face with his enemy and boldly declare his true identity. He isn't afraid to fight, nor is he afraid of his enemy, nor is he afraid of death. This guy knows who he is. even though he's broken, even though he is wounded, even though he is standing in the face of his enemy, in the face of death is right there. He's outnumbered. He's outarmed. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Guys, listen to me. Identity matters. Let me say that again. Identity matters big time, especially when you as a Christian man are standing face to face with depression. When I face depression, and like I said, I've been facing it recently, and it hits me from time to time with what I'm going through with chronic Lyme disease. When I face depression, one of the things that helps me is I will state to myself my true identity in Christ. Many times I do this. I state my true identity in Christ, who the Bible says that I now am in Christ, because of Christ. Nothing I've done, nothing I've earned, it's all by the grace of God. This is what God has given me with this thing called salvation. He's given me this whole new identity. And many times I find that a lot of Christian men, they don't know their identity in Christ. And they don't review that enough. They don't think about that enough of who they really are. And I just know that when I'm really facing depression, when I'm face to face in the arena with depression, dude, I have got to stare it down and restate my true identity. And many times I do it out loud. That way, you know, it's not just for me to hear it. I need to hear it. But also if there's anything going on in the spiritual realm that could also be trying to attack me, tempt me, bring me down, discourage me, I want them to hear it. This is who I am. You can take it and you can feel the weight of it and you can deal with it. And I need to hear it. I need to feel the weight of it. It helps me big time. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you guys 22 identities that God gives us in Christ. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, if you've received his free gift of salvation through faith in him, then this is who you now are. God gives you these identities. So again, I can't say it enough. It's by the grace of God through faith in Christ. This is who God says that we now are. Whether, listen to me, whether we feel it or not. Listen, when it comes to our identity, our feelings are irrelevant. Our feelings, listen, so many times we make feelings preeminent in our life. We don't realize, including myself, how much we bow to our feelings, how much we worship and obey what we feel. And we have to stop doing that. That's part of real manliness, really stepping up, acting like men. Listen, let me tell you who's got the preeminence in our life if we're Christian men. Jesus, his word, his promises, what he says, and what he says about who we are. That's the preeminence. That's the main thing. Everything else is secondary to that. You know, listen, feelings have their place. I'm not one of these guys that's like, yeah, let's all just walk around stoic all the time and ignore our feelings. No, feelings, have their place. I'm not going to say they're important. I'm not going to, they have their place. But feelings have often jacked me up. I have often been led astray by my feelings. If I did everything that I feel like doing, guys, I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now. I assure you of that. I don't feel good right now. Maybe you hear that in my voice for this episode. I don't feel good. Don't even want to do this. Stomach hurts. My head is busting right now. So what? My feelings cannot rule me. God, Christ, my master, and his word, they need to rule me. Do they rule me every day? No. It's like an imperfect rule. I fall often, but I'm trying to get better at keeping them on the throne of my life. Christ is on the throne. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings, but I have to constantly keep him on the throne of my life. So a little rabbit trail there with the whole feelings thing, but I just get really worked up about people that are talking about feelings or that are trying to navigate and live their Christian life by feelings, you know, feeling everything. Well, I'm going to go on that mission trip, you know, if I feel that that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to give that money to help those people if I feel that God wants me to do that. I'm going to forgive that person when I feel, you know, you can go on and on and on and on. I'm going to get in recovery when I just really feel that my heart is where it needs to be for that. You're never going to get in recovery. You're never going to forgive. You're never going to give the money. You're never going to go serve in Guatemala or wherever or down the street. Never. Dude, you're not going to stay married for very long if it's about your freaking feelings. You're not going to stay an engaged dad for very long if it's about your feelings. Because I'm telling you, they're hard when they're little. Wait till they're teenagers. You've dealt with no type of really hard emotional and mental stress yet from your kids. Not yet. You wait till they're teens. I love them. Thankful for them. Don't ever want to lose them. But it's hard. It presses me in ways I've never been pressed. And do I feel like bailing like a lot of guys? Yeah, I sure do. But my feelings must not be lord of my life. So anyway, went off on a little freaking rant soapbox there. I guess I'm more preaching to myself right there, guys, because, man, I just deal with that sort of thing with my feelings. All right, 22 things that we now are in Christ. This really helps lift me up, and especially when I say it out loud, like I'm about to do right now. So here we go. These are all biblical. They come from the Bible. In the show notes, there are scripture references for each one of these. I'm not going to read all the scripture references for the sake of time. Number one, I am unconditionally and eternally loved by my Heavenly Father. I am unconditionally and eternally loved by my Heavenly Father. That means there's nothing I can do to make him love me more, and there's nothing I have done to make him love me any less. His love is always steadfast. In fact, Psalm 136, it just repeats that loop, dude. It's like a loop from a freaking 1983 New York hip-hop club, baby. God just loops that track. His love is steadfast. His love is steadfast. It'll say something about God. His love is steadfast, or his love endures forever. Number two, I am completely forgiven of all my sins, even all of the sins that I've yet to commit. I am forgiven. Number three, I am chosen by God before the foundations of the world, if you are saved, God chose you. Think about that. Number four, I am redeemed by God, or ransomed could be the other word, or purchased by God. God paid the price for me. I am His now. I am redeemed, purchased, ransomed. And what did He pay the price with? The shed blood of His Son, the murder of His own Son. Number five, I am reconciled to God. We were separated. I was an enemy of God, but because of Christ, I am now reconciled to God. Number six, I am justified by God. And you hear that a lot of people, they say that a good way to remember what justified means is because of Christ and what He's done, it's just as if I've never sinned. I don't know if I totally like that definition, because I do always want to remember that I did sin, and that's why He paid the price. But I get what it's saying, that the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to me. That's what God gives me, and my sin was imputed to Him on the cross. Number seven, I am saved. Talking about identity. My identity, who am I? I am saved. Saved from what? From sin, death, hell, and the forces of darkness. Number eight, I am spiritually resurrected already with Christ. When Christ resurrected, in a spiritual sense, I resurrected with Him. And that makes me, and that makes you, a new creation in Christ. A new creation in Christ. Number nine, I am righteous, holy, and blameless in God's eyes because of Christ. Number 10, I am eternally sealed by His Holy Spirit. Number 11, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body, I am the temple that the Holy Spirit resides in. Number 12, who am I? I am adopted by God. God didn't just ransom me, redeem, purchase me as taking me out of the slave market of sin and making me just His slave, that He now owns me, that He's now my master. He also adopted me as His son. What kind of master does that? But that's what God did for me. That's who I am. I'm an adopted son of the Most High God. And so are you if you're in Christ. Number 13, I am a member of God's family. Number 14, I am never alone. God is always with me. Number 15, I am a victor or conqueror in Christ. In fact, it says, I am more than a conqueror, more than a victor in Christ. That's Romans 8, 37, 38. And then you got Philippians 4, 13, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right, I said I wasn't going to read the verses, but they're in the show notes, dude. Number 16, I am eternally secure in Christ. I am eternally secure in Christ. Number 17, I am a citizen of heaven, a citizen of heaven. My citizenship, my true homeland is heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of anything that I did to earn it. Christ earned it for me, and He earned it for you if you're a genuine believer in Him. Number 18, I am a co-heir with Christ, a co-heir, talking about an inheritance. All that Christ has, He also gives to me. I am a co-heir with Christ. Number 19, I am an alien, stranger, or a sojourner in this temporal world. Just passing through, baby. Just passing through. Number 20, I am salt and light to this lost world. That's part of who I am. Number 21, I am an ambassador of Christ to this lost world. I'm not just an alien and stranger and a sojourner. I'm salt and light. I'm an ambassador. I'm here to represent the kingdom of God, like I'm in a foreign land. So passing through, but not just passing through, I'm here to rep Christ. That's who I am. Number 22, I am a warrior soldier for Christ. And I got to read the scripture references because some of you are like, where does the Bible say that? Because I thought we're just all supposed to be like a bunch of nice guys. No, man. We are called to be warriors, soldiers for Christ. There's so much figurative military battle language in the New Testament. That's just there. You don't even got to really try to look for it. You're going to see it. And it's not the only figurative language used. There's also gardening and farming and other stuff. But I am a warrior soldier for Christ. That's who I am. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, about the whole armor of God. That's God's way of saying, it's time to armor up because there's a battle going down. And you have to defend, and you also have to be offensive at times. And God lists out all the weapons that we need. And then 2 Timothy 2, 3 is another verse that talks about that. Paul tells Timothy, wage the good warfare of faith, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He actually calls him, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All right. So as I said at the very beginning of this episode, who you are impacts every area of your life. Your thoughts, your feelings, your relationship with God, relationship with others, your health, your fitness, your work, your finances, etc. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to see yourself the way that God sees you. And you've got to be confident in that. And you got to restate it to yourself as often as you need to. Listen, guys, depression can be a scary thing. If you let it, all those feelings and what it can do to you mentally and even physically, it can mess with you. But listen, we do not need to fear depression. We do not fear depression. We do not fear Satan and demons. We do not fear death. Why? Because we know who we are in Christ. And we have to stop the negative mental self-talk that is so often going on in our heads, especially when we're in the funk. You know what I'm saying? You have to stop giving yourself a false identity with your negative self-talk. Let me give you a couple examples of that before we wrap up. I wrote out some things that often plays in, the speakers of my mind when I'm in a funk, I'm going through something. Things like, I'm such a loser. I'm an idiot. I'm such a pervert. I'm no good. I'm a failure. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never overcome this or that. I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'm such a horrible sinner. No one really loves me. No one loves me. God can never use someone like me, not with what I've done. I suck as a husband. I suck as a dad. Now, some of you, those same identities, false accusations, just negative self-talk crap, you've had those same things play in your head. You got to tell it, shut up. No. Like the Apostle Paul says, you've got to learn to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So I captured those negative self-talk identities. And I got to turn around like freaking Maximus in the arena. Take off my gladiator mask and stare it down, stare depression down, stare all that negative crap down. And I've got to restate my identity in Christ. I've got to do it often. And it helps. It's not a one and done thing. Oh, I restated my identity in Christ and wow, my depression cleared up for life. It's not like that, guys. I'm just giving you various tools, things you can use that will help you manage it, overcome it, make it through another day, keep going, and even use it to be a blessing to others. Anyway, don't listen to your negative self-talk. Listen to God. Listen to His Word. Listen to what He says about who you are. Listen to the truth. And don't listen to your feelings. My brothers, that's what I got to do, especially lately. I don't feel well a lot of times, and I easily get depressed about it. And listen, guys, don't ever tell me, man, you don't really know what it's like to feel really depressed. Listen, dude, you have no idea how hard I've been hit with it. You have no idea how low I've been and how scary and dark it's been for me with things like depression or anxiety, panic. I've dealt with all sorts of just really hard stuff emotionally and mentally. And this is definitely one of the ways I fight it and I overcome it, and you can too. You got to know who you are in Christ, and you got to restate it to yourself often.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.